This is not a good time for Christians in the Middle East, and that's especially true in Syria and Iraq. Some of the oldest Christian communities on earth in those two countries are facing an existential threat. The murderous rampage of ISIS and other violent extremist groups are driving Christians out of their homes, and there's no one putting a stop to it. Eliza Griswold has been writing about the fault lines between Christianity and Islam. She's the author of The Tenth Parallel. And she's got a new story in the New York Times Magazine that asks, is this the end of Christianity in the Middle East? So, Eliza, what's the short answer to that question?
The short answer is it's complicated. And we're certainly looking at the potential end of Christianity in the Middle East if no one does anything to protect these ancient communities that are dwindling now.
Remind us who we're talking about when we talk about Middle East Christians.
That's an excellent question. So we're not just talking about a religious identity. We're talking about an ancient ethnic and even national identity that's, in some cases, thousands of years old.
And what different sects or denominations are we talking about?
In Iraq, most of the dwindling populations of Christians, most Christians are Catholic. They belong to different groups within the Catholic Church, different churches. After that comes Orthodox. And within the Orthodox community, there are further splits between Eastern and Oriental Orthodox. And then there is the Assyrian Church of the East, which is neither Orthodox nor Catholic and conducts its liturgy in the language Jesus spoke in Aramaic.
I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question, but considering the fact that Christians in the Middle East do have such little clout at the moment, why do ISIS and other groups go after them? Why not just, let them live their lives separate from, what in that region is a Sunni majority?
ISIS and other groups go after Christians as they go after other religious and ethnic minorities. In larger numbers, they go after the Yazidis. They go after the Kaka'i. They go after the Shia Turkmen. They go after anybody who's going to challenge them. So the Christians are one of this larger group at the same time. And you can see this in ISIS's videos, a couple of really chilling videos this spring about the status of Christians living within the Islamic State territory. ISIS and its ilk sees Christians as tied to the West, and they become the easiest scapegoat and easiest target when the West is out of reach. So it's these two things. It's A, that Christians are suffering like many other minorities in the Middle East, and that's essential to understand. At the same time, Christians represent the seeming tie to the West for extremists, and so they are, in this case, an additional target.
Even though ISIS knows perfectly well that there is no real connection.
That's exactly right. I mean, ISIS functions by propaganda. And largely what they're doing with Christians, as certainly they're doing with Yazidis and others, they're robbing them, right? So when they come in and under ISIS propaganda, it is legitimate. If a Christian does not convert to Islam, it is legitimate to make them pay a tax, to enslave them, to kill the men and to seize the women and children as war booty and to seize their money. So a lot of this is a way to legitimize robbery as well.
Now, Eliza, Lebanon is one place where Christians have a history and actually some political clout, right?
Yeah.
And many Christians from Syria and Iraq have fled there. How well is Lebanon dealing with the influx of war refugees? And is the Christian community there able to, help the problem in any way?
So Lebanon is under an incredible amount of pressure, with 1.5 million refugees having come from the civil war in Syria. That is a substantial amount of the Lebanese population. So they're groaning under the weight of this larger refugee population. And within that larger population, what's happened most recently, starting the spring really, as ISIS began to target Christians in northeastern Syria, we saw this new influx of Christians, of Syrian Christians. So the church is principally responsible for them in Beirut, and the Assyrian Church of the East, which is really looking after many of them, is absolutely flattened by their presence. They can't afford to care for them at all. When I was there, I spoke to one assistant bishop who was principally bartering to get bodies of refugees who died in hospitals to get the bodies out of the hospitals because the refugees couldn't pay the hospital bills. And so the Lebanese hospitals were holding on to these bodies saying, we're not releasing this person until you pay the bill. And the bishop was having these fights with the hospital saying things like, you know, I am morally and religiously absolved of that body. You do with whatever you want in that morgue, but we're not paying this bill. So it was really heartbreaking to watch a community that had fled Syria in order to survive, dying and facing a huge amount of pressure in Lebanon as well.
Now, you went to visit Christian communities, what's left of them, in northern Iraq. And we're starting to hear about Christian militias forming there and Christian groups being trained by foreign fighters, including Americans. Do you have any hope that the communities will be maintained in Iraq?
When we look at people displaced by ISIS, and we look at Iraq alone, we're looking at 3 million people. 85% of those people are Sunni Muslims. And that's essential to say, to understand who we're seeing displaced. Of those who are not Sunni Muslims, many of them belong to religious minorities, and one of those minorities is this Christian community. So how they are surviving now, they live in refugee camps, they rent apartments with kind of five families in an apartment. They survive at the margins of northern Iraq. What they want is to be able to return to the Nineveh Plain, which is one of their ancient homelands.
And that's around Mosul.
Exactly right. Mosul is the biggest, Mosul being Iraq's second largest city, is really the biggest city on the Nineveh Plain. And the Nineveh Plain is a breadbasket for Iraq. Okay, so they want to go back to the Nineveh Plain. And right now, that's impossible because ISIS is there. But the Nineveh Plain has also long been a contested region between the Arabs and the Kurds. So it's fraught. What they'd like is the right to be their own region in the Nineveh Plain. And that would require a budget and the right to self-defense. So what they're looking for under the Iraqi constitution, and provisions exist already for this, is to say, okay, we have the right to defend ourselves and we have the right to a budget that will allow us to fix our own roads. That's the extent of what the international community is going to support. Nobody's going to create a no-fly zone for these guys. Nobody's going to put international troops on the ground. But if there is the means to create the framework within the Iraqi constitution itself, then there is hope of this community remaining in Iraq.
Eliza Griswold has a big story in the New York Times Magazine this week about Christians in the Middle East. She joined us from San Francisco.